What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. My name is Mike Brown. It's been a minute since I've been with you guys live here on Spotify Live. Thank y'all so much for tuning in tonight. My first game back since the All-Star break, so it is good to be back. And what a game it was tonight. Rockets lose to drop their record to 13-47. I see Adam already in the chat. We need to talk about Jabari. We're going to get to all of that. Let's see, where do we want to start? Rockets lose 131-114. My sister's wedding was this weekend, so I am a tad tired tonight, but we're going to go for about 20 minutes. Got a lot to talk about. You guys want to talk, you know the rules here at the Dream Take. You hit that request to speak button. We'll bring you right up on stage. Good friend of the show, Jim, what's going on?
Mike, how you doing tonight, brother?
Oh, man. I'm here. My sister's married. Congratulations to them. Thank you, brother, man. It's been a weekend. Real quick, before we get to whatever you want to talk about, I'm going to set the tone here tonight. The Rockets are going to do nothing as it relates to this loss. This is another notch in the front office's ineptitude at building a roster. They're not going to fire Silas. They're not going to make any real changes. Damian Lillard is still one of the three most overrated basketball players of the last 20 years. What he did tonight was against a team literally without their starting backcourt. Congrats, you beat DeSean Knicks. Like, a team that's led by Damian Lillard will never, ever win anything of significance in this league. I will believe that until the end of time. The Rockets tonight, embarrassing, Jim, just across the board, coaching-wise. You know, you look at benching Şengün for 17 minutes tonight because he's terrible defensively, which he is. And I actually like the move in principle, but you weren't getting killed on the inside tonight. You were getting killed at the guard spot. Having Şengün in the game would have been beneficial down the stretch, but that was weird to me. And why you're only playing Usman Garuba 8 minutes and he was a plus five tonight? He literally was your only player tonight that was a positive on the plus minus. Why are you only playing him 8 minutes? And finally, Jim, why in the Drew Eubanks, you're going to let him clown you? Are you kidding me? Like, I think we've talked about this. You and I played ball nearly our entire lives, all right? You're going to let a dude who averages 6 points and five rebounds a game clown you? Like, he literally nearly took Şengün's shoulder out of the socket? Is that the best way to describe it? Did you see the play tonight? Yeah, that was that was a ridiculous play. How he was not thrown out for that was embarrassingly bad by the referees. But the thing that's shocking that not a lot of people are talking about, except Adam Spillane of Sports Radio 610, there was one guy on the court that came to Şengün's defense by getting in Eubanks' face, and that was KJ Martin. Where were the rest of his teammates? Where was the retaliation? Like, some people may look at this, Jim, and they're like, Michael, why are you calling for retaliation? That was my teammate. I would have gone straight for Eubanks' throat. I would have shoved that dude into the fourth row. And the fact that none of our guys did that, or the fact that Silas didn't get thrown out for not getting that call right by the refs, I would have fired Silas right then and there. But then again, my final point before we'll get to whatever you want to talk about, Jim. Tillman Fertitta is the worst owner in the NBA. You want to place a $5.5 billion bid on the Washington, whatever the hell they are. What are they now, Jim? The Commanders? You know how embarrassing that is? Hey, let's go spend $5.5 billion on an NFL franchise, and you are not spending dick on your team. Sorry for the language, but that's what he's doing. He's spending nothing on his NBA team. He's telling the fan base, sit on it and twist and watch my NBA team be the worst team in the league 3 years in a row, and you're going to talk about wanting to go buy an NFL team? You can kick rocks, Tillman. You and your lapdog GM, Raphael Stone. Yeah, the Twitter fanboys and girls who want to say, to build Raphael Stone a statue. You can build him a statue in this middle finger that I got up to you right now. That's where I'm at. Miss me with all that BS. Because that's all this is. People are just now seeing it, Jim. You and I, people like you and I have been on this for the last 2 years. And it's refreshing to see people literally now coming around on the fire Silas train. It's so funny to me. It's so funny.
And how, you know, he's monitoring the situation and how it's going to have to all kind of route through him, you know, with any team and all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, and how he talked about how the Rockets are a hot mess. And it's like, you just now figured out their hot mess. They've looked like pure sweaty balls and ass for 2.5 years. But
well, and it's but put it, man, put it behind. Who was it that came out? Was it Perkins who said that he's hearing rumors about things going? Is it Perkins? I don't want to misspeak. Somebody just came out within the last 72 hours, and they were like, you know, the situation is much more dire in Houston that's being led on to believe, or some BS like that. I'm like, you think? This is what happens. But you know what, Jim? This is what people wish for. This is what they wish for. This is what you get. This is what tanking looks like. And again, it's never worked in the NBA.
Yep. And there is a way. I mean, you know, I've said this time and time again. Mm. There's a way to tank without it destroying you. And to your point, you have no culture. You could have spent this whole – there are 1,000 things that could have happened this year that they pissed it all away. You could have juggled the lineups. You could have figured out what kind of offense you really want to run. You could have done all these things. Nope. We've just been playing grab ass and tickle dick the whole year long, right? And your point, now you got a bunch of guys who you've screwed with their confidence, right? Jabari is a walking, talking example of when your confidence is not right, that's what it looks like. And
well, and it's also like, what the hell is going on with KPJ? Something is going on. There's no way a toe injury keeps you out this long. There's no way. Sorry, I don't believe it. I interrupt you to bring that point up of confidence. There's no confidence in this team. Literally, Silas said it himself that they don't even run plays for Jabari. And you know what? Shame on Rockets fans. I'm never going to tell somebody how to fan. Do whatever you want when it comes to this team at this point. But if you're bashing a 19-year-old in Jabari Smith for his play right now, offensively, the dude sucks. But if you actually watch the games, he's one of the only guys on this team that cares defensively. He's one of the only guys. Like, at least he's showing up night in and night out. And I love, Jim, how some people are like, they shouldn't have taken Jabari. I'm like, who else would you have taken at 3? And don't lie. You're lying if you say anybody but Jabari Smith, because everybody, we talk to everybody. You see all the takes in the offseason. No matter what, it was Paolo, it was Chet, and it was Jabari. Wherever you land in there, that's who you're going to go get. So it's like, okay, you're with Jabari. So I want to defend Jabari. Like, I want to be one of the few people, because unfortunately, people like us, you know, we're a glutton for punishment. You know, we're watching him the entire year. Let me ask you this, Jim. If I told you, insert guy who's played 56 out of 60 games. He's playing 30 minutes a night. He's shooting 38% from the field, 30% from three. He's an 80% free throw shooter, and the dude is averaging 12 points and 7 rebounds a game and nearly a block and a steal a game. You take that? Me too. Me too. And Adam says, and Adam, I'll get you on the mic here in a few minutes. He cares defensively, but he makes one great defensive play and three terrible defensive plays. Whole team sucks defensively. That's the point, you know? And I had to come around on this, Jim, because I'm really hard on Şengün defensively. He is nearly not playable defensively. But at this point, like, if you're going to be this bad, play whoever. Like, defensively, it almost doesn't even matter anymore.
Right. It's hard to look. It's hard to judge Jabari because this team is so – the entire team is bad defensively. You can't put it all on him. He's 19. He has 1 year of good, hard, organized ball under him in college. So to say it's all about him, no. This is about coaching. Now, actually, we'll go, you know, beat that damn drum until, shoot, you know, we tear the damn drum up. But, like, the reality –
Well, I'd hire Bruce Pearl in 5 seconds for this team. You want to talk about, you know, decent coaching? He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it right now.
How about the big balls on the Hawks to go do what they did? That's called I want to win. Not, well, let me just, you know.
They got the hire wrong.
Well, they may have gotten it wrong, but give them credit for at least doing something.
Well, I respect it. I mean, I respect the move in that manner, yes. But the Rockets, they're not that. And that's what it comes down to, is what people don't get is they just don't get it, Jim. They don't understand that what the Rockets are doing right now, they're not doing anything. So they're doing something, which is not doing anything, if that makes sense. You have the worst coaching staff I've ever seen. In the NBA right now, for sure, it teeters, and I'm not kidding, on maybe the worst coaching staff I've ever seen in the NBA, ever, of all time. Where is Lionel Hollins?
Yeah.
You know, you hire him to be this defensive guru, and you look at what the Rockets are doing right now, and it's so hard to blame the guys playing, if that makes sense. Like, it's hard to look at Deshaun Nix. Deshaun Nix at least tried tonight. You know, I give him credit for that. You know, they're showing up. The Rockets have now lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They've lost 9 games in a row. You know, and you say Kelvin Sampson. He doesn't have the balls, Tillman Fertitta doesn't, to hire Kelvin Sampson. He won't do it. And now he can't have his foot in both camps because he represents the University of Houston as well. Even though that's my number one guy. You know, but watching the game tonight, nobody will ever convince me until I see it for myself. Damian Lillard is a bucket getter. Congrats. You ain't gonna win jack squat diddly with Damian Lillard as your best player. Sorry. Great player, great scorer. Phenomenal scorer. You ain't going to win anything with him. Just like Westbrook. Westbrook, Carmelo, and Damian Lillard, the three most overrated players of the last 10 years, maybe the last 20. I put McGrady up there too. At least McGrady made it to a finals in Orlando, though. But he wasn't the best player on that team. It was Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Well, when you look at what a young team should look like, who's trying to figure it out? Orlando, all day long. That's what it's.
What about Sacramento? You know, what about Sacramento? What about Oklahoma City? You know, that's the difference to me.
Those two. I don't know that I have a hard time buying where they are. You can't knock it; they are where they are. But when I look at Orlando, the reason I buy that situation is because number one, people are where they're supposed to be. And two, they're not playing above their head. Long term, that situation is going to be better than the other two. Because Sacramento, this is a flash in the pan. They're going to flame out in the first round.
See, I don't think so.
Because
right now, if the playoffs started today, they'd play the Mavericks. That's a tough matchup for them. But I will say this: I mean, Dallas has. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is balling right now. I mean, what, 30 points in six straight games for De'Aaron Fox? That would be an incredible matchup. Because I think Sacramento would beat them up front with Sabonis. Who else do they have? They got another guy. And you got De'Aaron Fox, obviously.
Well, the Mavericks are a mess. bring anybody off the street they want.
I'll get to you in just a second, Adam. Look at Sacramento, man. But you talk about they acquired Sabonis. You know, it took a lot for them to move on from Halliburton. But they brought in Sabonis. They brought in Kevin Huerter. They brought in Malik Monk. I mean, Malik Monk is averaging 14 points, you know, for them this year. And this is the thing, man. Keegan Murray was the fourth pick in the draft. Keegan Murray is averaging less points per game than Jabari is. Now, his team is much better because he has so much more talent. But that's the thing, is Sacramento has leaned into what they do well, which is score points. And something is wrong, Jim. When your team is 13-47 and your head coach still has his job, something is wrong. Something is not going according by societal standards. I just don't get how Steven Silas still has a job.
And not just that, it's wrong. He's comfortable, right?
There, oh yeah,
he looks like he doesn't give a shit most day in and day out. That little tirade he threw about not playing defense, like, oh my god, that was so manufactured. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. And you know, with all due respect to Steven Silas, I understand his father passed. We're past that, you know. I get it. Tough situation. He came in to coach other guys. His father passing. It's all sad. You're still the head coach of the team, and it lays at your feet. Jim, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks,
brother. Let's go to Adam. Adam, welcome. What's going on? Well, let me bring you in. Give me one sec. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, brother?
We're going to disagree on this. I think we talked about a week and a half ago about Jabari.
Okay.
And I mean, we've come to our conclusion, you know, the dead end with Silas. We know what's going to happen. There's only so much you can beat a dead horse, as they say, right? It's done. He's done, right? Like I can't bash him anymore. He just is what he is. But Jabari Smith, all right? What are the excuses that people make for him? Well, he's 19. He's young. He's the ninth youngest player in the NBA. Five of the players that are younger than him are better than him in the NBA. Jalen Duren, number one. He's, I think, the youngest player in the NBA. Shaedon Sharpe plays 20 minutes a game. You know, I think he's a more efficient scorer.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Better defense, you know, defensive player. He's elite
Well, but Jalen Duren is an 8-8 guy. I'm not gonna say Jalen Duren is a better NBA prospect than Jabari.
He competes out there. He's not a net negative player. He's probably the second or third best player on that you know, Pistons team. If you include, you know, Cade Cunningham, he's part of their future.
Yeah, it's a stretch for me, but I mean, his team has two more wins, and he's on a team with Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, and Bojan Bogdanovic, who's averaging 21 points a game. I mean, Durant's fine. Who's the next one? Shaedon Sharpe.
Shaedon Sharpe with the, you know, Portland. You know, he didn't play well tonight, but he's shown more consistently in limited time than Jabari has. Jabari's averaging 30 minutes a game. You know, Shaedon gets 15, still kind of scores, what, 8-9 points a game. I think he actually scores like, yeah, I would
say. Well, he played 29 minutes. Sorry, his last game he played tonight, he didn't have a good game. The 23rd, he had 22 minutes. He scored 9 points. on 4-14 from the field. I mean, I'm not such Shavon Sharp is not long-term a better prospect in my eyes. So who else you got?
Jeremy Sohan, definitely better.
Okay. Six doesn't have to, whatever the saying is, he's fine. I'm not going to the mat, and I'm saying for sure he's going to be a better player long-term than Jabari. Less than a season, dude. I mean, ultimately, what are you getting to? What's the ultimate point?
What I'm getting to is, looking back, I talked to Jeremy about this. I don't want to rehash too much, but like he played 1 year in college last year. The NCAA three-point line is 20 feet 9 inches. The NBA three-point line is 23 feet 9 inches, 3 feet beyond that. He was hugging that three-point line in college. His form looks good. You know, you can say like his form looks good. It should go in. He is not a good shooter. He just is not a good shooter. And that just doesn't seem sustainable, but he insists on being a dude that just hangs out there at 6'10", 6'10 and a half, just hoisting up threes that aren't going to go in. And it's just like, do something different. Maybe you're not a 3-point shooter. Maybe try to play like LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, go in 5 feet. Shoot that elbow jumper, do something different. And you can say that's the Silas. Yeah. The coaching staff is to blame for that. They should be enforcing that. You're not making your shots. It's not turning around. You need to try something different, but that's also on Jabari. These are kids. Yes. These are teenagers, but he's an adult in the NBA. He needs, the same way that Jalen last year, he got a lot of praise from me and others because he was part of a dysfunctional environment, but he rose above that. They weren't running plays for him early in the year. He changed kind of just the general narrative of his season by taking charge. That's not something that Jabari's doing. Like, I know we disagreed a week and a half ago about
here's the difference, right? Here's the difference. What else would you have done at three? You're pigeonholed, and you have the worst coach in the league. What do you want from the guy?
I'm not double guessing that because anybody would have picked Jabari Smith
let me ask you this: you're ready to give up?
We can assess who he is today, right?
No, you can't because he's playing without a point guard. He's literally playing without a point guard, Adam, because they don't play Ty enough.
Everybody's playing without a point guard. I can.
And who's thriving on this team right now? Give me one guy who's thriving.
Tari getting 30 minutes a game is a better player than Jabari Smith.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. Yes, KJ Martin getting 30 minutes a game consistently throughout the season is a better player than Jabari Smith.
Okay, so Tari right now in 20 minutes, he's averaging 19 minutes a game. He averages 8.5 points, 5.5 rebounds. He's also playing majorly against second units. So you think you would rather have Tari on the court for 30 minutes versus Jabari? Is that what you're saying?
I would rather have Jabari coming off the bench. I would even take it a step further. But I know you laughed at me at this point. And I've thought about it. I want Jabari to show me that, in a 5-game span in the G League, he can score 25 a game. Show me that you can be an elite G League player. Because it's the defense, you're right. The entire team's defense is terrible. He's probably one of the better defenders, which is saying very little because, some guy just scored 71 on you. And when he had 56, Silas didn't even double team. I mean, at some point you should just be like, we're not going to win this game. We're going to triple team Dame because there's no way in hell a player's going to score 70 on us. That's just, even if you're giving up layups at that point,
But you can't send him to the bench. Send him to the bench and you can't send him to the gym. His
confidence is so brittle that we're worrying about that. That's not a player that I have confidence in, that if he loses confidence by going.
But you don't know about his confidence. You have none of us know. It's all conjecture. So let me ask you a question. You honestly don't feel for the kid at all. You don't feel bad for him at all.
This is a business. He's getting paid just like everybody else.
Okay.
And if we look at just tonight's game, right, the Rockets cut the lead to 8 with 8 minutes to go, largely in part due to like the catalyst, the energy of Boban and Josh Christopher. What happens after that? Okay. They take a timeout. After, you know, Portland takes a timeout, they put Jabari at the center position. And it falls apart at that point. Yeah, he has one.
Because he's not a center. He's not a center.
I'm not even talking about being a center. I'm just the substitution. Like both.
He's out of position. He's out of position. They don't run plays for him. And he's playing for the worst head coach in the league. That none of this is at Jabari. Jabari's fault.
The play where Damian Lillard just dunked on his head. Jabari's okay. in the middle of no man's land, in the middle of the lane. Damian Lillard drives by two players. Yeah, Deshaun Nix is a traffic cone out there. But you gotta stop that dude. If you know he's not even anywhere near his own man. That's beyond the point. He just gets, you know, like the reason that they made a comeback was partly, if we're being fair, is because Damian Lillard was on the bench. But also because Boban was out there, and he's actually a rim protector just by putting his hands in there. They basically just had him in plain zone, you know, playing in the middle of the lane, and they were just kind of hustling out there. He's not a center, but it doesn't work out there. Like, it just, everything else just fell apart when he's out there. You see that. You see that by his, you know, net, you know, this is net positive.
But I'm not ready. Adam, you and I both know you can't give up on Jabari.
I'm not giving up on him.
It sounds like you are.
We drafted Tari Eason as well. Why don't we try to develop, you know, Tari Eason a little more? He's playing
20 minutes a game. Somebody
the third player overall. We're tied to basically give him the most development. No, we have to adjust. We criticize the coaching staff by not doing that. But maybe, you know, so if they ran more more plays to get Jabari open 3-point looks, he's going to make those? I don't think so. You got to put him in different positions.
You don't know because they don't run plays for him. Look, honestly, I think both of us are on the same page. If I'm going to bet on two of these three guys, Tate, and you don't forget about KJ. You still got to develop KJ too. You got a log jam. Giving up on Jabari would be a massive mistake by the Rockets, which with this front office, I wouldn't put that past them at this point. But that the hate that this kid is getting right now is unwarranted. Because this is a lot. This is a loss.
Jabari. I legitimately felt bad for him. I felt bad for him when things were going downhill and Silas kept him in the game. I think you got to take him out at that point. It's just like it was almost embarrassing. Like they were.
You got to let him play through it. You got to let him play through it. He's also not playing alongside. What would you say, KJ or Jalen Green is this team's best player? Easily, KPJ when he's healthy is in the top three. So you're playing top three guys. It's unfair to Jabari Smith to not give him a real point guard.
You know, that's actually interesting. You know, I was thinking, why didn't the Rockets go get Patrick Beverley? You know, like the Bulls.
Because they're stupid. That's why.
Tonight, would Lillard have gone off for 71 against, you know, against Patrick Beverley? No, he might have gone off for 45. Yeah, possibly.
I give Knicks credit. Knicks played some decent defense tonight on him. But the thing was,
Beverly would have got a figure in two and got ejected at some point.
I saw on the timeline that people wanted Jabari to go cover Lillard. That's not his assignment. That's not his role.
But he did cover Lillard, and it wasn't good.
What? Because come on, man. How many 6'10 guys are going to be able to stay with Lillard? That's unfair.
He was promised to be an elite defender. You know, like he can start speed. He's 6'10". You know, like that was what we were talking about.
Give me one 6'10 guy that can cover, that can stay with Lillard in the league. Give me one.
When AD is elite and he's actually motivated, when you're 6'10", you put your hand in the air, you know, towards the strong foot of the player. You slide your feet and you have, you know, like it's just not. It doesn't pass the eye test for me. You know?
There's more that goes into it. We're going to wrap the show up here in a couple minutes. But I do want to say this, that this whole season, no one's developing. Nobody. There's not one guy. Şengün was good offensively last year. He's better. One guy on that's a coaching problem. You know, like they've got a real problem, a massive problem, because it's a lost year. You know, you have your drunk ass owner, basically. He said, pray for Victor. That's what they are. They're praying that the lottery goes their way, which it hasn't tonight.
We're not far away, I think, from just breaking this team down to the studs. If we get Wembanyama and trying to extract as much value from, you know, from most of the team and keeping 3 to 4 guys. You know, I think Shingun, to your point, the rest of the league is so high on him. If you could get 2 first-round picks, get 2 first-round picks for Shingun. You know, because what the plan should be is getting Wembanyama or Scoot, hopefully Wembanyama, and adding 2 max contract guys. You know, and trade, and one by trade, and hopefully one your free agency over the next 2 years. That should be the plan. There aren't many legit NBA players on this team, and I just it's sad to say, but it's true. KJ, Jalen, Tari, they're players. Deshaun Nix is not going to play in the NBA. He shouldn't play in the NBA after the season. He's not an NBA player. He just isn't. There's too many of those guys on this team. But yeah, sorry for spreading all the negativity.
Oh no, you're good, brother. No, it's real. But that's the thing, Adam, is that everything that you're feeling and I'm feeling and everybody is real. And it sucks, man, because I honestly can't wait for this season to be over. I literally cannot wait to not have to watch this team anymore, especially when Jalen doesn't play. And that's why it comes back to a respect thing for me, that Jabari could very easily at this point fake an injury. Oh, my thigh hurts. Oh, my hamstring hurts. I'm not playing tonight. He's played 56 out of 60 games. He's played hurt. This kid is going to be fine. I said it when they drafted him, and I think this is still right. Long term, I think he's got Trevor Ariza type of longevity in this league, because I think he's actually going to be really good defensively once he's surrounded by the right guys. If you tell me that the Rockets drafted Trevor Ariza at 3, do I love it? Obviously not, but I would take it depending on what else happens and what else they bring in. Because if you bring in Vic and you bring in some stud guards, you're going to need a guy like Jabari. And that's the thing, Adam, is do you agree or disagree with the following statement? Portland will never win anything of significance as long as their best player is Damian Lillard.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's been
that's proven. My point. Yeah, because they don't surround him with the right guys. They just don't.
And for Anthony Simons is McCollum 2.0. You know, they're just retrying the same experiment.
Correct. And they have Jusuf Nurkic. I like Nurkic. You know, but acquiring guys like Cam Reddish, I mean, that's fine. He needs more star power there. They don't have that. They don't have star power in Portland.
But like a guy, you know. So I just. What I really need to see the rest of this, I need to see his shot be there a little bit. I need to see totally an fair. Open 3-point shot go down, because that's the bare minimum for an NBA player to get in this league. Matisse Thybulle was an all defensive player. The reason he's not in Philadelphia anymore is because he couldn't hit a shot to save his life. He never developed offensively. And there's a risk there. If you're getting an open shot, Jabari, you got to make it. You just got to make it. That's the bare minimum. If you're going to be Trevor Ariza, he made open shots for the most part. He was streaky, but you know, he had a couple of, you know, 40%, you know, 3-point shooting seasons.
No, he absolutely did. You do look at, I mean, his first year in 2004, 2005, he shot 23% from the 3-point line. Now, he didn't shoot a ton. But then you look at, you know, he didn't become his first year that he shot over 40% was in 2013 and 2014 when he shot 41%. But it took him 9 years to develop that. I'm not saying it's going to take Jabari 9 years to figure that out. Hopefully it doesn't. But again, you look at his numbers, statistically, he's having a better year than Keegan Murray. And Chet hasn't played at all this year. Paolo's doing his thing. I give him that. But everybody literally said to take Jabari at 3. You were going to take Jabari. I don't hold it against him because he's playing for the worst head coach in the league. And it just, it's enough already. But Adam, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks, brother. This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. My name is Mike Brown. Once again, your unhappy final from Portland. Rockets lose 131-114 to drop their record of 13-47. Congrats to Damian Lillard for dropping a 71 burger tonight against the Rockets. We will be back live with you guys. Let me take a look at when the Rockets' next game is. The 28th. So that's going to be on Tuesday. The Rockets will be back in action against the Denver Nuggets at Toyota Center. If you're on Twitter, make sure to follow the Dream Take at the Dream Take. Follow me on Twitter at BS, or excuse me, at Mike Brown underscore 2020. Follow my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, at Jeremy Brenner. Follow the Dream Shake at Dream Shake SBN. If you're on Facebook, search the Dream Shake. Give us a like there. Finally, head on over to thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets all the time. We'll talk with you on Tuesday night, folks. And until then, go Rockets.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.